So, got a message for tonight. I believe it's going to be very relevant. I believe it's going to resonate with a lot of individuals. And it's a type of message, there's no way you're going to finish it tonight. No way. And truthfully, it's not a type of message I would want to rush. I want to take my time. So if we're on this topic for the next couple of weeks, we're not going anywhere, right? Unless Jesus comes to get us. If he comes to get us, it doesn't matter anyway. So it's a type of message that if you find out that it may not apply to you tonight, it's the type of message that you still want to get under your belt. You want to study this. You want to digest it. You want to make it part of your life, because at some point in time, everybody faces these type of difficulties. But I want to lay a little bit of foundation tonight. So there's a scripture that if you've been in the Christian world for any length of time, and again, I've been around this thing for 40 years now, you'll hear, we call it Christianese. Anybody know that dialect, Christianese? You know, praise the Lord, are you saved? Are you washed by the blood of the Lamb? And people that don't know what we're talking about go, what? Washed with blood? What are you talking about? But you see, it's one of the things, we know what we're talking about, but most people don't. And so I've heard this phrase throughout the years since 1984. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Okay, so if you're not trained biblically to think, you think this is a breakfast recipe. Okay. Because most people today in our day and age don't know what a yoke is. It's not Y-O-L-K, it's Y-O-K-E, okay? Which we'll talk about a little bit more. So I want to go to this scripture. There's one, I'm not going to say misunderstood, but it could be. If at best, if at least I would say it's very interesting, because if you don't understand the symbolism and don't understand the concept, it's one of those scriptures that goes, but when you understand the principles and you understand the context as well as the concept behind it, then it's one of the most richest, powerful portions of scripture, especially from the book of Isaiah. So I want to go to Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden, and we'll talk about who his is referring to, that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder. And the implication here is that this is an oppressive kingdom, an oppressive ruler that has been afflicting Israel, and Israel is the shoulder that it's talking about. That his burden, the burden of the oppressor, will be taken away from your shoulder, nation of Israel, and his what? Yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Okay. Now, this is probably a real easy one for most of the people who are in here tonight. What does oil almost always represent in the scriptures? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. So we get that in your heart right off the bat. This yoke is a piece of equipment that connects one beast of burden to another beast of burden. Okay, you've seen it. It's a wooden thing. Sometimes I can go to some, like, maybe Western theme restaurants or stuff, and you see them, they have on the wall, or some people, you know, if you lived in Texas, you probably got one in your bathroom or whatever. It's that big wooden thing, and it's got like two openings. And the idea is that you take the more matured, seasoned beast of burden and you put them in one section of the yoke. And then you take one, but they used to call them greenhorns. So in other words, one that's not seasoned, one that's not trained, maybe one that hasn't been broken yet. And then you take that animal and you put it right next to it, so that the one that's trained will teach the one that is not. However, in this context here, it's talking about a negative thing. It's talking about, if you read the whole chapter there, it's talking about Israel's natural enemies. And Israel had a lot of enemies. Israel still has a lot of enemies. But in context, and put it in historical context, this is talking about the nations around Israel that would come, take over, and then place the people under slavery, or we could say it this way, put them in bondage again. Yes. Okay, and we see this happen. Well, Pastor, I thought when they left Egypt, they left that slavery period of 400 years. But then throughout their history, there were shorter periods of time where maybe the Babylonians would come and put them in slavery. The Assyrians would come. The Egyptians that came back later on in history, the Philistines, the Amalekites. And in this context, it's referring to a natural enemy. But it's talking about, when it's talking about the yoke, these enemies, these tyrannical governments would come. These kingdoms would come, take the land from the people, many times strip them of their crops, strip them of their weapons, strip them of their farming tools, strip them of every form of the ability to function in normal life. And that oppressive king or ruler would force the people to take a direction in life that maybe they did not want to. For instance, when, I'm not going to make this a history lesson, but I'm just trying to put it in a context here. When Alexander the Great, after Alexander the Great died, which is about 500 years or so before Jesus comes on the scene, his empire, which stretched from Greece, northern Greece, Macedonia, all the way through the Middle East until into China, almost to the beginnings, parts of the mountains before you come to China, and then way back, all of India, all of Iran, all of Iraq, the whole Persian Empire, the whole Saudi Arabian Peninsula, Egypt, and parts of North Africa, that was all Alexander the Great's kingdom. When he died, his kingdom got split up, and the person that got, as an inheritance, the area where today we would call modern-day Israel and Jerusalem, was a man called Antiochus Epiphanes. Now, he was a tremendous demonically possessed ruler. And under his rulership, the Jews could not practice their religion. All, as many Torahs as they could find, as many scrolls as they could find, they burned them. They sacrificed pigs on the altar in Jerusalem, which is the highest level of blasphemy that a person could do. So people, the Jews' lives were restricted. Would you say that, please? Restricted because they got yoked up with a demonically possessed ruler. So they had no freedom. Okay, so that's the natural context here. Now, it's being used as a negative illustration because this picture that's painted, this type of slavery, this type of bondage, is a picture of a person being forcibly subjected to bondage to something destructive. In other words, you're hooked up with someone, not for the intention of teaching you something, but you're connected and you're hooked up with someone. We're talking about this demonically inspired ruler who's out to destroy you. Well, take out the natural demonically inspired ruler and put there an evil spirit, a demon, that sometimes affects people's lives to some extent or another. And now you're hooked up, and anybody that's ever been involved in any type of addiction knows exactly what I'm talking about. Now you are connected to a force that is not there to teach you good, is not there to bring you life, but is there to lead you to destruction, to restrict your movement, to restrict your freedom, and not to bring you to a place of being productive, but just pretty much bring you to a place of ruin. Okay, does anybody know what I'm talking about here? That's what we're talking about in this teaching. And again, it's probably going to last the next, at least tonight and the next couple of weeks. Now, when you're connected to that form of bondage, just by virtue of the fact that you don't have freedom to go on your own, whatever that addiction dictates, you're going to do it. To the point of people have found themselves doing stuff, involving themselves in things that never in a million years could they imagine that they would sink that low. Okay? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Okay? But you either been there, or you know somebody that's been there, or you got somebody in your life right now that's there. Okay? And a person is stuck in this type of slavery, this type of bondage, this type of sin, addiction. The person does not have freedom, but is completely restricted. Now, understanding that, maybe now, Jesus' statement of Matthew chapter 11 makes a lot more sense. Matthew 11, verse 28. Now, I know some of you already started repeating in your head because you know the scripture, but I want you now to see this scripture. Just force yourself to hear the scripture, see the scripture, as if you never heard it before. Remember what we just said, Isaiah chapter 11, okay, states that the anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing, the presence of the Holy Ghost, the power of God, the goodness of God, the graciousness of God, the mercy of God breaks that thing off your life. Amen. So that you regain your freedom, regain movement. You're without limitations that you have when you're under that thing. Are you listening to me? So listen to what Jesus says. And maybe now we understand a little bit better what he was talking about. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you
rest.
Next verse. Take my
yoke.
Whose yoke?
It is.
Take my yoke and do what? Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And we could translate that, I've got the right intentions for you. And you will find rest for your souls. Because where is it? When a person has an addiction, when a person has suffered trauma, when a person has allowed, whether knowingly or unknowingly, allowed this force to come into your life, you have no rest.
That's true.
So what's he saying? If you'll allow me to, my power will break that thing off of you. Okay? Then you come and get hooked up with my yoke. And I'll do what? Teach you. Teach you. Would you say that, please?
Teach
you. He said, I'll break that one. You'll get hooked up with me, but when you get hooked up with me, I'm not going to take you in a direction you don't want to go. When you get hooked up with me, you're going to have peace. When you're hooked up with that other thing, you have no peace, you have no control of your life. There's no sense dreaming because you're not going to get there. But if you'll allow me to, says the Lord, I'll break that thing off of you. And then reconnect you with me in such a fashion that it'll be very natural and we will flow together and you will realize the plans that I have for you, because they're plans for good and not for evil, plans to give you a hope and a future. Are you catching this?
Yes.
Yet how many people, and maybe this applies to you, I don't know, how many people, the grace of God, the power of God, they have an encounter with Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit breaks that thing off of their life, but then they don't get re-yoked with him.
Amen.
I've seen it happen so many times. It's almost like they say this, thank you, God, I got it from here.
Amen.
And we know that's a recipe for what? Disaster. Are you getting, oh, this is good tonight. This is good too. I've never taught this stuff in all my life. I'm seeing things here with this scripture I've never seen before. And usually when the Holy Ghost does that, it's because it's for such a time as this. It is time for the body of Christ to get out from under any kind of yoke, to get out from under any kind of life-restricting thing that the devil is behind and wants to just drive you into the ground to weary you so that you'll throw in the towel and say, this stuff doesn't work. This God's not real. How come I'm not getting set free? None of those. And it's time for us to get yoked up with him.
Amen.
And picture it this way. You get out from underneath that demonic yoke. That gets busted off of you because of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And then he says, come on. Come on. Who's doing it now? The Holy Spirit. Come and hook up with me. What did Jesus say? He's going to teach you. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. He's going to pull you in areas of truth. Are you listening to me? The Holy Spirit wants to yoke up with us. Because if we don't, we're not going to fulfill the plan of God that he has for our lives.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So now watch this now. Imagine living the Old Testament. Somebody said no. Now, I'm not making it mandatory, but for the sake of the teaching. No, listen, though, because this is very foreign to us. But I think if we'll kind of like temporarily delve into this, maybe it'll create an appreciation for what we have now in this time period of the church. Your entire culture in the Old Testament revolves around one main thought. Someday the Messiah will come and set us free. Up until that point, this is what life is going to be like. It's just going to be from one bondage to the next bondage. It's going to go from one demonic ruler to the next demonic ruler. Life's going to be just terribly abusive, and that's just the way it's going to be. Because we're waiting for him to come. We're waiting for him to come. We're waiting for him to come. And every generation, maybe this will be the generation. Maybe the next one will be the generation. Maybe this will be the one. Maybe that will be the one. And yet bondage never ceases, because there's another form of bondage that's even crueler. And it's a bondage that Jesus addressed. Matthew 23, verse 1. I'm going to read the New Living Translation on this one here, because it brings it out a little bit better. This cruel oppression is the one that crushes people's souls. Matthew 23, 1. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the law of Moses. So practice and obey whatever they tell you, but don't follow their example. For they don't practice what they teach. Look at verse 4. We're talking about another form of bondage. They crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. Now imagine this slavery. That the very thing that you placed your hope in is the very thing, the very system that you're expecting to produce the Messiah is the very system that puts in place ridiculously impossible to do demands that God himself didn't even put on the people. Religious rituals. Religious rules. You can eat this, you can't eat that. You can wear this, you can't wear that. There's only so many steps you can take on a Saturday. You can't turn a light switch on. I lived in a neighborhood up until recently where many people from the Jewish community had moved into that neighborhood. And I said to my wife, but dear God, they got the lights on 24 hours a day. I don't understand it. The lights are on constantly, constantly. And especially on the weekends, because they can't turn off a light switch. You talk about bondage? And so this is the system that was supposed to produce freedom for the people? Taking 10 original commandments and making over 600, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, over 634 individual little rules? Now imagine you're in bondage, you've got some kind of addiction, you've been traumatized, and so you're now your soul has been crushed with fear, and we're going to talk more about that later. And now the system that you think you could put your hope in now is producing more bondage and more slavery and giving you less hope. And that's the danger that happens sometimes when people come to a church like ours. Get a little bit of the Bible, have an emotional experience with God, and then decide that they're going to become religious instead of having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead of bowing the knee and saying, there's no way I'm ever, ever going to be good enough. There's no way that I can follow enough rules. There's no way that I'm ever getting to that place of being perfect enough. And the thing is that God never expected that to begin with. He said we needed a savior, not a life coach. Well, maybe if you prove this area of your life, and maybe if you start doing this, and maybe if you start, and most of that stuff, and I know there's some stuff there that's based on Christian principles, but most of it's put you in the center of it. I need me in the, if I'm so stinking messed up, I need me in the center of it? Anybody know what I'm talking about? If I can't trust myself to be alone for 5 minutes, now you want me to be the one that's running my life, in charge of my life? Are you crazy? Transformation can only come when there's a force from the outside that comes and places itself in us and lives through us and helps us to transform. You can't do it on your own. Turn to somebody, please, because there's people in this room that are still under that. Tell you can't do it on your own. Say it again, louder, for the people in the back. Say this, turn to somebody on the other side. Say, if you could have, you would have. The point is this, I'm believing God to stir up some hope tonight. There is a special empowerment, we call it anointing, from the Holy Spirit to deal with areas of our lives which are under the strong control of the enemy. That's what bondage is. Being under the strong control of the enemy. And I really hate to burst anybody's bubble, and I definitely don't want to cause any confusion. But you could be born again, your spirit be completely alive in God. You can even be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues, but you can have an area of your soul where the enemy has gained entrance into. Amen. It's a soul thing. Are you listening?
Yes.
Now, I hope I haven't caused any confusion, because that's something. Because understand this, okay? Maybe I should have talked about this first. Again, we'll have to go back to the same thing I go back in almost every teaching. We are tripart in nature. God said, Genesis chapter 1, let us, the Trinity, let us make man in our image, okay? Okay, so God exists as God the
Father.
God the God the
Holy Spirit.
So if he said, let us make man in our image, and he's tripart in nature, then there should be something tripart in nature about man.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Mankind. Okay? Yes. And we are. We are spirit. We possess a soul, and they live in a body. When you got born again, we're getting good at this. When you got born again, which part of you got affected?
Spirit.
Your spirit. Wow, you hear how nice and loud that was? Which part?
Spirit.
What did not get affected right away?
Soul.
Soul. And what's the dummy that follows after it?
Body.
The body. And whichever way the soul goes. Well, Pastor, I just couldn't help it. I fell for the tempt. No, you couldn't help it because your body is used to responding to your soul. Your spirit used to be dead, so it didn't have any say in anything. But then your spirit comes alive, you're connected to God, the Holy Ghost comes to live in your spirit. So the Holy Spirit's wanting to go, hey, this, get your attention off of there. Get your attention off of there. Get your attention on here. Get your attention on me. And we go, oh, yeah. Oh, but this looks good. So watch this now. Again, that scripture in Isaiah, we know in context, is talking about natural enemies. But we also know that it's an illustration. And seeing this now, connecting Isaiah 11 with Matthew chapter 11, I'm like, oh my God, Jesus knew what he's connecting the idea back to Isaiah. Was Isaiah 12 or Isaiah 11? 11. 10, that's what I said, 10. He's connecting the two. What is he saying? Who are you going to hook up with? Who are you going to be connected with? Who are you going to live your life with? Are you going to continue living your life with something that's eventually going to destroy you? Are you going to continue to live your life with something that's going to drain you and weary you and get you to throw in the towel? And while you're doing it, you're going to destroy everybody else around you? Or are you going to hook up with me? Because my burden is light. And there's one thing that about bondage from the enemy, it is never light. It always produces heaviness. It always produces oppression. Beat down. Dark. Jesus is the exact opposite. Now watch. Now again, imagine all you know is Old Testament. Your life, your culture, everything else is all Old Testament. You're waiting. You're dying under the oppressive heel. Let's say when Jesus was here, of the Roman Empire, they were ruthless. But not only that, they're crushing the life out of you physically, but then religion is crushing the hope out of you spiritually. And you're waiting for this day to come. You're waiting for this day to come. You're waiting for the liberator to come. You're waiting for that empowerment to break that yoke. And then imagine this. You find yourself in Nazareth one Saturday morning. And you go to synagogue like a nice little Jewish person. And somebody gets up and you go, wait a minute. I know that guy. That's the carpenter's son. What's he doing? Isn't it Mary? Isn't it Mary? Mary, the one that they used to talk about. Isn't that Mary's son? Yeah. Where is he going? He's heading for the stage. He's heading for the platform, the bima. And wait a minute. The guy in charge of the synagogue is handing him a scroll. They're going to let him read? Wow. Let's see what he wrote, what he read. So he came to Nazareth, Luke chapter 4, verse 16. He came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. He knew where he was going because he knew who he was. Imagine you're sitting there, and all of a sudden, this man starts to read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Amen. Hallelujah. The rescuer has come. Right now, there are millions and millions of people all over the world, in the church, out of the church, that are enslaved to some type of bondage of some form or another. bondage of sin, destructive cycles of sinful patterns. And many Christians, though they have received Christ as their Savior, are still held in chains of some type, restricting freedom in their lives. And let me just throw this out now. We'll get to it later on, but I feel like I need to throw this out now. Let's be real transparent about this. Because right away, I know most people, when you say bondage, for some reason, people automatically go to sexual immorality. It doesn't have to be sexual immorality. It could be the bondage of being held restricted because of a wound that you never got healed from. It could be the result of a trauma that took place in your life. Amen. And I almost hesitate to mention specifics because I don't want to stir things up in somebody who might be in a healing process right now. But sometimes it's something like this. Person gets into a serious car accident or any kind of a car accident, and all of a sudden, fear comes on them. And they just, they tremble if they got to get in a car and drive, especially if they have to drive. Or all of a sudden, I can't sit in the back seat. All of a sudden, I have to drive because I got to be in control. Because I got to do everything possible to make sure it doesn't happen again. What is it? It's a restriction of freedom. It could be living a life where, because maybe you've been abused, living a life of never being able to trust another person, because somebody that you trusted and someone that should have taken care of you, instead of taking care of you, took advantage of you. It's still restricting your life. Got nothing to do with sexual morality. Nothing to do with substance abuse. Nothing to do with. But it's restricting. It's restricting. And to some extent or another, if it's not dealt with, it'll just suffocate you. You'll go to heaven. Got nothing to do with going to heaven or not. Because you go to heaven because your spirit is connected to God now, because you're born again and you've received Christ as your Lord and Savior, and His Spirit came to live inside you. But your soul, suffocating. Amen. So how do some of these things manifest? What's the fruit? What's the end result? Again, I almost hesitate, and I'm trusting God that what I'm going to say is not going to stir up more hurt. But all of a sudden, you start realizing 20 years later, every relationship you've gotten into has exploded in your face. Amen. Because of unhealed trauma, unhealed wounds. Now, there's the obvious ones. For instance, if you have a history of being involved in any type of occultic practices before you got born again, the blood of Jesus sets you free. Amen. But there might be some areas of your soul where you've got to enforce that freedom. I personally do not believe in generational curses. I believe a lot of it is trained behavior, but there is such a thing as familiar spirits. And a familiar spirit, I'm just throwing all this stuff out. We're going to go into all of this at some point. Pastor, I never heard of it. What's a familiar spirit? Well, what does it mean to be familiar? You know something. You know what's going on. And there are spirits that follow families from generation to generation, looking to reproduce the same conduct and behavior from generation to generation. Now, I'm not saying every time a young person becomes an alcoholic and their father was an alcoholic and their grandfather, I'm not saying every time it's a spirit, because there's also the trained behavior aspect. This is normal for us. This is the way we always lived, and that was that. And sometimes that stuff can follow you into your relationship with God, because again, you got saved in your spirit. Okay? Your soul now needs to be transformed. Amen. Needs to be regenerated. And that happens. That's the reason why we're here tonight. It's because the agent of change and salvation is the Holy Spirit. But the agent of transformation in your walk with God is the Word of God. So as we're taking in the Word, and as we're submitting to the Word, and as we're digesting the Word, and as we're living the Word, now we get some of this stuff that gets filtered out. But there's some Christians that go through their whole life always sad, always beat down, always negative, always pouty, always moody, because of a wound that was not healed. Man, I didn't even realize how deep this was going to get. We got to get set free from these things. My biggest prayer for tonight is that we start looking inward. And I hope to God, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that I'm not by any means planting a seed where a seed doesn't need to be. Because, listen, there are times where it's just us, God, ourselves, in that situation. So don't be one of them that's all looking for an excuse. Well, Pastor said, you know, what is going on in my life? It's not my fault. You know, it's not my fault. Not my fault. Okay, we know that's wrong, right?
Right.
Okay, how about over here? We know that's wrong, right?
Yes.
We know that that's not going to solve anything, because in order to get free from some things, you have to take responsibility and accountability.
Yes.
And there's sometimes you just need to go repent before God. Do you see why we sent out a text today and asked for as many people to come out as possible? And I'm so thankful that you responded, because this is something that, man, there's some people that spend their whole lives and never get free from this stuff because they don't even realize they got anything to deal with. Isaiah 61 is where Jesus was quoting from. Through the prophet, God promised the people of Israel freedom would come when Messiah comes. And Jesus specifically went to this passage of scripture in order that the people of Nazareth and all of us down through these ages would know and believe that he is the promise fulfilled. Let's go back to Isaiah 61. Man, Isaiah 60 and Isaiah 61 are two of my favorite scriptures in the book of Isaiah. Two of my favorite chapters. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good tidings to the poor. Good news, good news. He has sent me to heal the
brokenhearted.
Brokenhearted. Brokenheartedness needs to get healed. Because you see, we have an enemy that is looking to take advantage of every opportunity to come into our lives, to come alongside us, to re-yoke us again, even though he doesn't care that your spirit's alive unto God. All he wants to know is this: can he neutralize you while you're here on the earth?
Yes.
Can't stop you from going to heaven at that point. But can he wear you down? Yeah. Can he stifle the life of God in you? Yeah. Can he throw a bucket of ice water on the fire that you previously had?
Yes.
Yes. He said he sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and that's exactly what that bondage is like, captivity. The open of prison to those who are what? Bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Let me read the rest of it. Jesus stopped there, because the rest of it gets fulfilled 100% through the church and eventually at the second coming. The day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who what?
Mourn.
To console those who mourn where?
In Zion.
Isn't it amazing that, I believe this, that the Holy Spirit specifically spoke this to Isaiah this way: to comfort all who mourn, that's the Gentiles. To console those who mourn where?
Zion.
That's the Jews. To give them beauty for what?
Ashes.
The oil of joy for?
Mourning.
the garment of praise. That they may be called trees of what? The planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Amen. Now remind me, Raina, remind me when we get to the part of talking about the part that worship plays in getting free. To go back to the scripture. Because praise is described as a what? You know where I'm going. We talked about this at length one time. The praise is described as what? Garment. What do you do with a garment? Does a garment automatically come on you?
No.
Do you walk in your room, up the closet, go, in the name of Jesus? If you do, you need counseling. What do you do with a garment?
Put
you put it, who puts it on?
Yes.
You put it on. You put it on. But Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through, man. The last thing I feel like right now is praising God. That's why you got to put it on. That's why you gotta what?
Put it on.
Put on your praise.
Amen.
That they may be called what? Trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord, that he may glorify. Go back to that. Look at the garment of praise for the what?
Spirit.
You just exemplified the spirit of heaviness. Put on the garment of praise for the
spirit
of what? Heaviness. So when heaven is, I'm getting ahead of myself here, because I've walked this out. This is part of the plan that I got out of panic attacks, anxiety, crippling fear. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaven. Go in Jesus' name, because I'm going to worship God. I don't care what picture you paint. I don't care if I feel like I'm going to throw up all over the place. I don't care if I walk in a room and it feels like 75 people all of a sudden turn and start looking at me. I'm going to praise my God.
Yeah.
Unless you've been there, you don't know what that's like. So, do we have time?
Yeah.
So, all right. Let me read through this again and then we'll start breaking it down. So, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. What's it saying? Because the Lord has empowered me with this tool, this weapon, this device to get that thing broken off of my shoulders.
Amen.
He has sent me to heal the who? Brokenhearted. To proclaim liberty to the captives. That's the thing that sticks out to me. I don't know. Most people that are in bondage don't know that Jesus has already set them free.
Yeah.
So in a real sense, we're declaring something over somebody that the result has already been, it's already been taken care of. They're just not aware of it because the enemy has come in and deceived them to think you're still in it. The opening of the prison to those who are bound. You can't open the prison on your own. You got to have somebody come and open a prison for you. And the Holy Ghost is going, I specialize in that stuff. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now we'll talk about it. We won't get that to tonight, but we'll talk about, he's talking about the year of Jubilee. And if you don't know what that is, I can't wait to teach that part. Because that's already been proclaimed.
Amen.
To comfort all who mourn. To console those who mourn in Zion. To give them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That they, the ones that receive all this, may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So what exactly was promised here? To fill the empty, preach the gospel to the poor. Okay? Here in Isaiah, in this translation, is to preach good tidings to the poor. It's not the good tidings I want to talk about. It's the word poor. The word poor doesn't necessarily mean somebody who's poor, don't have money, can't pay their bills, don't have any food. That's what's a, well, yeah, you could say spiritual poor, but it's better translated empty. Vacant. Vacant. You ever feel empty on the inside? You ever go through seasons of life where you feel like, man, I got nothing? I'm just, and it feels like everything's been drained out of me. It's like you're scraping the bottom of the barrel. He said, that's the one that I've come to fill. That's the one that I've come to preach to, that I've come to bring hope to. God knows the emptiness of soul causes people not to be able to stand up against the activity of the enemy when he comes to try to enslave us. When you're empty on the inside, you don't have what it takes to fight. In the book of Proverbs, I can't remember the address right now, but it says the strong spirit of a man will sustain him in times of, one translation says trouble. Most translations, proper translation would say in times of sickness. Isn't it amazing how when we get physically sick, sometimes it even affects the way we think? And the longer the condition remains, the more you start thinking, I'm done. I don't know. I'm just going to throw in the towel. You got to keep fighting. It ain't over until God says it's over. Yeah. That's for somebody here. It ain't over until God says it's over.
That's right.
You may be this close to that miracle. God knows that emptiness of soul causes people not to be able to stand up against the activity of the enemy in trying to enslave us. Now, maybe another statement of Jesus is going to make a lot more sense. Luke chapter 11. Man, we're in the 11s tonight. Luke chapter 11, verse 24 through 26. Jesus speaking. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finding none. He says, I will return to my house. That's one thing about the devil. It's very territorial. Once he's taken over territory, he does not want to give it up. I'll return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. And I put in parentheses here, empty. When he comes, he finds it swept and put in order, empty. Then he, the unclean spirit, goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. This is why I said before, a person who has an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit and gets freed, if they don't get yoked up with Jesus, they're empty. And so the enemy will come and take advantage of that. And that's why, listen to me closely. That's why many of us have had people in our lives and we say they're finally hit rock bottom. And just a short time later you go, oh my God, they had a basement into that rock bottom. How many of you know people that you thought, okay, this is it? And they did nothing to maintain their freedom. And what happens? They turn around, they're 10 times worse than they were before. And you go to yourself, how is this possible? They knew what happened the last time. They knew their life was destroyed. God gave them a second chance. And they do nothing with it. And the end result, according to Jesus, is that demon goes and gets seven more wicked than itself, because there is a hierarchy in the kingdom of darkness. There are various demons with different manifestations. And by the way, unclean spirit almost always refers to sexual immorality. Jesus came to fill us up to the point where nothing else has any place in us. And honestly, we're not 100% free until we get to that place where every part of our being is so filled up with the Word, with the presence of God. We wake up in the morning with a worship song in our heart. We go to bed at night with a worship song in our heart. We just, you go like, you touch like this, and scripture comes out. And I'm not saying we need to become robots. What I'm saying is we've got to, we got to be intentional, okay? Because the devil took advantage of your, is it unintentionality or inintention, whatever it is. The devil came and took advantage of the time in your life where you were not being intentional and slipped in. And all of a sudden you wake up one day after years of, like, you turn around and go, how did I get to this place? How did I lose what I had? That doesn't mean you're going to hell. It doesn't mean you lost your salvation, because you couldn't earn your salvation. If you couldn't earn your salvation, you can't lose your salvation. But all of a sudden, your quality of life, your soul, your thinking, and it's because of a lack of intentionality. You go to the doctor, he gives you a prescription. If the prescription just sits on your counter, you never take it, and you go to the doctor, I don't understand, you know, I came here, told you my problem, you gave me a prescription, but I still feel the same. Well, what did you do with the prescription? So even in the natural, if we're unintentional about things, we're not going to get the results that we should see. I mean, is this like deep theology here? This is it's common sense. So please, those of us in this room, those in this room that you're in that right now, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Please, I pray that the Holy Spirit does something on the inside of you, even tonight, even just introducing this, that causes you to come to the place where you are incentivized now. I pray that you're walking out here tonight with some hope that things still can change. No matter how many cycles you've gone through, no matter how many times, how many relapses, no matter how, there's still hope. Would you please tell somebody next to you, because they may need to hear that. There is still hope. And I pray in the name of Jesus that hope just sweeps across this room.
Amen.
And something rises up on the inside of you, and you hear the Holy Ghost go, okay, now starting tonight, before you go to bed, we're putting a plan in place.
Amen.
And that you'll yield to Him. On top of that, I pray in the name of Jesus that every spirit of darkness that has had success in your life up until this point is bound in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now I'm going to say one even further here. You might get mad at me for this one. I pray in the name of Jesus that every ungodly relationship that has led to you going in the wrong direction, I pray in the name of Jesus that even tonight that person calls you up and goes, I don't want nothing to do with you. Or that you'll have the courage to say, I love you, but it's easier for me to love you from 2,000 miles away. Stay out of my life. When we get to heaven, it'll be different. Because some of us, another form of bondage, and we'll get into this later, we become codependent with individuals. And when you become codependent, it's because there's a wound on the inside of you. The insecurities that you think you can't do anything without this person in your life. And that can even happen in a marriage situation. Okay? They complete me. No, Jesus completes you. You are two flawed individuals that should be putting your attention on Jesus Christ. And because if He ain't the middle of that relationship, forget it. Because I've seen spouses suck the life out of each other. Suck the life out like you married a stinking vampire. Put so much pressure on the other spouse to try to produce things that only God can. That also is a form of bondage. Amen?
Amen.
All right. We're done for tonight. Listen to me. Two things. Prayer team, come up here. If you know, it's like there's some things you don't even have to pray about. And if you know, I need help, then don't wait until after next week or the week after. If you need help, come up here now. We'll pray for you. But if you're in this room right now and you have never, never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please do not walk out of this room tonight. You're here. You came. You walked through our doors. You sat here amongst the rest of us crazy born-again people. You listened to me talking. That alone should you deserve heaven. I have to believe that you believe at least enough to receive salvation. Well, what is that, Pastor? I don't understand. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes.
Do you believe that he died on the cross to pay for your sins?
Yes.
Do you believe that God raised him from the dead?
Yes.
If you can say yes to that, you are ready to be born again. You are ready to declare your faith in Jesus Christ and have your spirit come alive unto him, knowing that if God forbid you to take your last breath tonight, that you would be immediately in his presence. There's no purgatory. There's no limbo. Those are man-made things. When you die, you're instantly in the presence of the Lord, or you're instantly in hell. And no amount of masses are going to do anything, no amount of prayers, no matter how much money you send to the Pope, none of that's going to help you. I'm sorry, but that's just the brutal truth. It's the way it is. Because religion is the best way to send you to hell. Amen? So if you need prayer, friend, if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, come up here. If you need prayer for anything that we touched on tonight, come up here.